You've searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created me, my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake, I still am with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord? I abhor those who are in rebellion against you. I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is God's word. Will you pray with me? Father, open our hearts and minds to receive your word this morning. May the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth be pleasing to you. We ask this all through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, believe it or not, as if you can believe it, growing up, I wasn't really that bad of a kid, if you can believe it, even though I didn't go to church at that time, and that I wasn't that bad of a kid. I was just one of those kids who really wanted to assert my independence as a teenager. And so, as such, I stepped out as soon as I could and got a job and worked most of my high school career. But the reality is, as a teenage, you know, as a youth who's working, and when you come from a poor background like I did, but you tend to deal with various rites of passage that might be different than others. And one of those rites of passages, well, it happens to be driving crummy cars. A car that is, well, no doubt at some point, some given time, gonna leave you stranded on the side of the road. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And so that was my case. I remember many, many times driving off to work and finding myself stranded on the side of the road. Late for work again because smoke is billowing out of my hood, or there's some sort of electrical issue and the car won't even turn over anymore. And here I am, stranded once again. So these were the days, of course, when you didn't have a cell phone in your pocket. And so I would find myself walking to a stranger's house or to the nearest payphone. That's right, they did exist at one point. And I made a phone call to who? Mom and Dad. Mom and Dad, well, I'm stranded on the side of the road again. Can you come pick me up or take a look at the car? And so there they were. They would answer the call. They would come running. And luckily, my dad had some mechanical experience. So very often, it was the best, most beautiful sight to see that car pull up and my dad to come out with that toolbox, pop open the hood and start tinkering. And at least so we could get the car home so we could tinker all the more. My parents, it's not like I didn't care for them as a teenager. I just wanted to be independent. And I would only call them very often when I needed them, as you can imagine, and you probably experienced as well. And these were those moments when I needed them most in spite of my independence. Now I bring this up this morning because it's really not unlike our relationship with the Lord either. You see, very often we tend to call out to the Lord only when we need Him most, only when it's convenient for us. Just like we call out to our parents to come rescue us on the side of the road, we tend to call out to the Lord when life is not going quite like we had hoped or quite like we had planned. That difficulty in that relationship at work, that time when your marriage is going down the tubes, those times when you just can't relate with your children, those are the times when we cry out to the Lord. The most, anyways. But what do we do in those times, those opportunities when life is, let's just cruising along, when life is good, when we're just chugging along in the routines, dealing with the mundane or ordinariness of life? Where do we relate to the Lord in those moments? Psalm 139 gives us a picture of a God who is, well, He's very involved in our lives. He's a God who is not a God who is a God of convenience, a God who simply comes to us at the snap of our fingers or when we need Him in our lives. No, in fact, Psalm 139 gives us a picture of a personal God. A God who knows us intimately and deeply throughout all aspects of our lives. As we look at Psalm 139 this morning, it's broke down into four basic sections. We see verses 1 through 6, it shows this picture of how well the Lord knows the psalmist, and by extension, us. The first six verses show how well God knows us, how personable He is to us. Verses 7 through 12 show us this picture of God's inescapable presence and how He is with us no matter where we go, no matter how we try to remove ourselves from Him. He is there. Verse 13 through 18 shows this beautiful picture of how God created us, knit us together in our mother's womb. This might be some of the most familiar verses to us in this psalm. And finally, it closes with this petition that the psalmist makes in verse 19 through 24. I want to focus this morning, though, on the first and the third petitions, the first and the third sections. That is, the sections that show how well God knows us. And then also this beautiful and intimate picture of how He created us. So the psalm begins with a very wonderful and poetic statement where it says, "You have searched me and you know me." Now this is maybe not what we would expect this psalm to begin with. As we're reading this, we might expect the psalmist to be asking a question. God, will you search me? Will you know me? But that is not the picture at all that we get here. Instead, he says, you already have searched me. You already know me, Lord. And he creates an even bigger picture of that as well. He says, you know where I sit, or when I sit, when I stand, you know my thoughts, you know how I think. You know when I go, when I come, when I lie down, you know all my ways. And that's where we say, whoa, hang on just a minute. You know all my ways? The Lord knows all my ways? All of them? Well, if the Lord knows all my ways, that means that the Lord knows how I reacted earlier this week when somebody cut me off going down 111th. That means the Lord knows that word that may have came out of my mouth when that happened as well. The Lord knows that finger that may have came up when I was cut off earlier this week. That means the Lord knows how I interacted this week with my family, how I was impatient with my spouse. The Lord knows how I treated my children impatiently and with very little dignity or respect. But it's not just the bad things the Lord knows if He knows all my ways. He knows the good as well. He knows that you were able to show dignity and respect to your neighbor. He knows that you were able to show grace to people whom maybe test your patience. The Lord knows all our ways. He has searched you and He knows you. And not only does He know you, He's taken great care and affection to make you who you are as well. We see in verse 13 and 14, he says this. He says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Jump down to verse 16. "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one came to be." Now these are verses that are very often cited to speak against abortion. And rightfully so. This is a beautiful picture of how God knows us and took great care to create us from the very beginning. Even before many of you mothers knew you were pregnant, God cared for your children and knit them together in your womb. So we look at verse 16, there's this idea of how God's eyes saw this unformed body within us. Some commentators actually look at that and see this picture of, of an embryonic sort of state that is the embryo inside a mother. Now maybe that's a little too specific for that this time and this place, but the point is well taken that God cares for us. He knows us and He beautifully knit us together and put each and every one of us in place from the very, very beginning. This is a reminder to us that the God that we serve is not a God that is distant, like some would have us believe. This is not a God who wound up the little toy and called the world and set it to go and then stepped back. Not at all. This is a God who is personally involved in the world, in its creation, and how it comes and goes this day. And so as God's people, knowing that God knows us, that He is personally involved in our lives, we have to be a people that seeks to honor God in everything, in all that we do. See, when we submit ourselves to God, when we submit ourselves to His will for our lives, we submit all of who we are, not just the parts that we like, not just the parts that we want to work on even. No, we submit all of who we are to God. We submit everything, all aspects of our lives, not just the difficulties, but the mundane, the boring, the everyday are submitted for God's honor and God's glory. That means our business practices should reflect our relationship with the Lord. We should treat people with dignity, integrity in everything that we do, even in our jobs, and even if we work for someone. That means that we should, our interactions with our family, our friends, should honor and glorify God, each and every one of them. You see, we can't shut our relationship with the Lord off once we leave this building on Sunday morning. No matter what, God is here. God is with us. He knows every dark corner that we try to live in, try to hide in. We cannot flee from His presence. And so the question becomes then, rather than how do we escape God's presence, the question becomes how do we honor God in everything we do. Now, this is a question that is, of course, not easily answered in one blanket statement on a Sunday morning, because all of our lives are different. All of our situations are different as well. But in principle, maybe it begins with us asking the question, how can I treat others with the utmost integrity and respect in everything I do? Whether that's my job, my business, my interactions at the grocery store, how do I honor God in those aspects of life as well? How do I honor the Lord when I'm interacting with that family member that just drives me crazy, drives me up the wall? How do I honor God in that relationship as well, knowing that that is a person who has been knit together, whom God knows and took great care to to form as well in their mother's womb, even if they drive me crazy. God is a personal God. A God who is not there just when we want Him to be. Not there when it's convenient for us. But He is a God who knows us closely and who knows us intimately. So much so that He was willing to take on our form to become Jesus. And to take our sin, our shame, those things that we try to hide in the dark corners of our lives, those things we try to hide from the world around us, those things that you don't want anybody to know. God became a man, became Jesus, and took those things we hide on His shoulders, took our sin, our shame, and then took them to the cross to set us free so that we can live life to the full and to the abundance in His name. We spend our whole lives sometimes searching for that one person, that one thing that we can know knows us inside and out. Yet God is that being. And He has been there from the very beginning. He's been leading us. He's been searching us. And walking with us to the way everlasting. He knows you. Do you know that? The question is, do you know Him? Let's pray. Father, you are such a personal God that we can call you Father. What an amazing thought that is, that you are so personal, that you are our Father in heaven. And so we pray that we would be a people marked by that. That we would know that because you are personal, that you are with us, that you are with us each and every moment of every single day. And so I pray that you would convict us. That you would show us how we can bring honor and glory to you in each and every moment. We thank you so much for the grace that you give us in Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.